Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Kuf Chaf, the second to last daf in the Masechta. We are on daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, not even close to the end yet of daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So first we're going to discuss, right before the Mishnah, we're going to demonstrate how David HaMelech somehow is more qualified than all of the Avos and every great Jewish leader that came before him to lead the benching in the Su'uda of Geula that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately going to bring, the great feast, La'asud Lavo. So that's going to be first. And then the Mishnah is going to teach about Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen, that we're not supposed to eat anything after the Afikomen. At least that's one of the explanations of what that phrase means, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. Then on Daf Kuf Chaf, we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Matzah Bizman Hazeh. Now that we don't have Korban Pesach, is there still a mitzvah of Matzah Midah Raisa Bizman Hazeh? Is there a mitzvah of Maror Midah Raisa Bizman Hazeh? Can you eat anything after the Matzah on the Seder night? That's the discussion of matzah. And then we may or may not get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph today that talks about whether people who had fallen asleep in the middle of the Seder can continue to eat the Korban Pesach when they wake up, and distinguishes between different types of sleep. The next Mishnah, so we're sure not getting there. All right, so let's begin. We're on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We are holding at, we stopped at a little bit of an odd spot because we were in the middle of discussing Hallel, and that if they have the minhag to be kofel the entire Hallel, to repeat every pasuk in Hallel, so you should follow that minhag. If they have the minhag livshot, yivshot, the minhag to only say to say it once, so you say it once. If there's a minhag to say a bracha after Hallel, so follow that minhag and say the bracha after Hallel. But we just pointed out parenthetically, making a bracha before Hallel, the Gemara pointed out, that's not a minhag, that is halacha. One has to say a bracha before Hallel. That's the din of the kolam mitzvos kulam mevarchan alein over las yasan. All mitzvos get a bracha before doing the mitzvah. But going back to the discussion of how to read Hallel, Tanya, we're about 10 lines into the page on Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, Tanya, Rebbe Kofel Badvarim, Rebbe Lazar Ben Prata Mosif Badvarim. Rebbe was doubled up some of the psukim, and Rebbe Lazar Ben Prata added some things. My Mosif, what does it mean he added? Amar Abaye Mosif Lichbol Me'od Cholamata. That it doesn't mean that he added new psukim into Hallel, he can't change Hallel. It means that he added more psukim to be Kofel from Me'odcha and on. Darsh Rav Avira, Zimni Namar Le'Mishmei D'Rav, Zimni Namar Le'Mishmei D'Rav Asi. Rav Avira sometimes said in the name of Rav, and sometimes said in the name of Rav Asi, as follows. Ma'i D'Chsiv, what is the Pasuk teaching us when it says, Ve'yigdal Hayeled Vayigamel? Where is this Pasuk? Bereshis Perech Chafal of Pasuk Ches, this week's Parsha. So, Ve'yigdal Hayeled Vayigamel, Avram made a Mishta Gadol on the day B'yom Higamel is Yitzchak, on the day that Yitzchak was weaned, Pasha Peshad. So what is the pasuk teaching us? Asr HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asos su'udah l'tzadikim b'yom sheyigmal chasdo l'zaro shel Yitzchak. That the Gemara sees in this pasuk there a remez not just to a historical feast that Avram Avinu made on the day that he was that he weaned Yitzchak off of his mother's milk, but rather it was the day that it refers to a su'udah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make for the zaro shel Yitzchak, for the tzadikim, on the day that he gives chesed to the zaro shel Yitzchak. So there's going to be a special su'udah dafka for the tzaddikim on that day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the ultimate chesed of zaro shel Yitzchak, meaning la'asud lavo. So la'achar she'ochlin v'sholsin, after everybody eats and drinks, nosna la'avram avinu koshel bracha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Avram avinu koshel bracha levarich, to lead the benching. Va'omer lahen eini mevarich she'yatsi meni Yishmael. And Avram is going to say, I can't be mevarich because Yishmael descended from me, so I'm not perfect enough to be mevarich. Omer lo Yitzchak tolu barich, so he's going to say to Yitzchak, okay, you lead the benching. Omer lahen eini mevarich she'yatsi meni Esav. I can't be mevarich because Esav came from me. Omer lo Yaakov tolu barich. Yaakov is mitasa shlema, he had shiftei ka. There was no Russia that came from him, so why did you try? Omer lahem eini mevarich shenasasi shtei achios b'chayehen shasid etara la'osran alai. I can't lead the benching because I married two sisters in each other's lifetimes. You're allowed to marry two sisters if one sister dies. That used to be the practice, that when one sister died, if the other one was single, you'd marry the other one because she would take care of the children better than anybody else, since it was her sister's kids. But when two sisters are alive, you're not allowed to marry two sisters when they're alive. So he said, I can't lead the benching because I married Rachel and Leah in each other's lifetimes. Amar lo l'Moshe tol avreich. So yeah, we'll try Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu never broke any of the mitzvos d'oraisa, as far as we know. So amar lahem eini mivarech shlo zuchisi likanes la'aretz Yisrael lo b'chayai v'lo b'mosi. May not have violated an avera, and it may have been anus, but I was never zoche to go into Eretz Yisrael. And lacking that zuchus, it's not appropriate that I should lead the benching either, says Moshe Rabbeinu. So amar lo l'Yoshua tol avreich. Well, Yoshua, you made it into Eretz Yisrael. There are no famous averus that you did, so why don't you lead the benching? I can't be mevarich because I wasn't zochet to a son. Yoshua bin Nun, Nun bino, Yoshua bino, meaning, and that was the end. There was no one that came after that. Omer lo David, so he said to David, tol avareich, David, why don't you lead the benching? Omer lahen, ani avareich, velina alavareich. You finally got the right guy, I'll bench, it's appropriate that I should be the one to lead the benching, shenemar, as the pasuk says, kos yeshuos esa, uvashem Hashem ekra. That David HaMelech is the one that lifts up the kos yeshuos, the kos shel bracha, at the su'uda of the Yeshua, the su'uda of the geula. So a lot of issues that come up over here. First of all, is there a su'uda la'asid lavo? Is there even eating la'asid lavo? The Rambam writes in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva, Ha'olam haba, ein bo guf u'gviya, el nefashos ha'tzadikim b'lvad b'lo guf k'malach ha'yashareis. That lasa lavel in olam haba, there is no body, there is no physical body. We're all like malach ha'yashareis, it's just the nefashos ha'tzadikim. Hol vein bo gvios, and since there's no physical body, says the Rambam, in case we're not clear on what that means, ein bo lo achila, v'lo shtia, v'lo davar mikol advarim shegufos b'nei adam tzrichim len bo lemazeh. So there is no eating, there is no drinking, there's no physical needs that we have in like we have in olam hazeh. El tzadikim yoshvim mitrosein brashein v'nenen mizeh v'shchina. All this is, these lashonos are taken straight from gemaras, but it's a question of which gemaras you want to quote, because there are gemaras that sound otherwise also. So the Rambam also writes, "V'cham karu lo karu la derech mashal l'tov azu amesumenes l'tzadikim su'uda v'karu la b'kol makom ha'olam haba." He says, and you should know that Chazal used the expression of su'uda, but don't take that literally. And when describing olam haba, su'uda doesn't mean a su'uda because nobody's eating. We can't eat. We don't have a guf anymore to eat. But that's just the expression we use to bring it down to our level. Says the writer on the Rambam, "V'im zuya su'uda." Ein kan koshel bracha, v'tova ha'isalo ashtika. If the su'uda was just some sort of mashal and it's not really a su'uda, then why is there a koshel bracha? The Rambam should have kept quiet over here, says the Ravid. He shouldn't have said anything about this. Meaning, that expression, tova ha'isalo ashtika, is probably he shouldn't have even brought up the idea of su'uda because that's his undoing. Meaning, he wants to say that there's no guf, that there's no... So he probably shouldn't have mentioned the fact that Chazal talk about su'uda all over the place because that's the ultimate raya that he's wrong about it. So the Kesef Mishnah explains, where do we see Koshel Bracha? That it's our Gemara, that what the Ravid's referring to is this Gemara, that they have this Koshel Bracha that they're passing around, that, you know, from person to person to try to figure out who should be the one to bench. So you see that that they're eating a Su'uda Mamish. Because there's only going to be, it only makes sense to have a Koshel Bracha when it's an Achila Mamish. So the Achronim explain that maybe, and this is the serious Achronim, meaning all Achronim are serious, but I'm saying the major Nosei Kelim and the Rambam, the Lechem Mishnah and the Magen Mishnah, they explain that, the Kesef Mishnah, they explain that the Rambam and the Ravid aren't really arguing Be'etzem Adavar, meaning they're not arguing at what point we are no longer going to have physical bodies and at what point we're still going to be able to eat and drink. That's not really the machlokas, all the Nosei Kelim say. It's just that in the Lashon of the Rambam, Olam Haba is a reference to where the neshamos go after Misa, after a person dies. So where does his neshama go? That's what the Rambam calls Olam Haba. Now that Olam Haba, certainly, where our ancestors are right now, that Olam Haba certainly doesn't have a physical body. That's what the Rambam and the Ravid would both agree to. And such a su'uda that we describe, if we were to ever describe a su'uda that's going on in Olam Haba, that's certainly, it's not no achila mamish, there's no real eating going on. When the Ravid refers to Olam Haba, he's referring to La'asa Lavo after Tchias HaMesim, where we're all going to be after Tchias HaMesim. The Su'udah that's going to be at that point, the Ravid and the Rambam will be Moda, is a physical Su'udah. Tchias HaMesim is the physical bodies are going to get up again, and there will be an actual physical Su'udah. That's how the Nosei Kelim of the Rambam seem to understand that the Machlokas is not really a Machlokas. It's not a Machlokas. They just are calling things by different names, which is difficult to say, because that's essentially saying that the Ravid misunderstood the Rambam. Otherwise, what's he arguing about? Right? From the fact that he should have just commented that, when the Rambam says Olam Haba, he means Olam HaNeshamos. He doesn't mean the Las Lavo. But so Rav Rambam at Rambam in his Milchamos Hashem, Rav Rambam at Rambam spent much of his life defending his father from his many critics. So Rav Rambam at Rambam has a sefer Milchamos Hashem, which is, as it sounds, a milchama to defend his father. So he says that the Ravid and the Rambam are arguing. And according to the Rambam, Lashon of Su'uda is a mashal for the tzaddikim. According to the Ravid, that Su'uda is kipshuta. Su'uda is a reference to regular Su'uda that's going to be had, meaning even Lashon Lavo, not just in the Olam HaNeshamos, and that's how some of the other Achronim suggest as well. So that's one issue over here. Why are they eating and drinking? So aren't there no gufim in this Las Lavo? So that's subject to Machlokas Rishonim, or potential Machlokas Rishonim. Second thing is, Yaakov Avinu says, I can't bench because I married Shtei Achios. So there is a discussion, how could Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? The Gemara says in Kiddushin and in Yuma, Avram Avinu was Mekayim, is Kol HaTorah Kula, Afilu Erev Tavshilin, before it was given, Mistama, Yitzchak and Yaakov also were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, why would it be only Avram Avinu, even though the Gemara only really says it explicitly about Avram Avinu, and we know that Yaakov married two sisters, but still, the Rishonim are bothered. It's got to be some explanation of why Yaakov married two sisters. So the Ramban, famously in Bereishis, says that the Avos were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, they're not Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and therefore one of the sisters died before they made it back to Eretz Yisrael, so you never violated anything. The Chizkuni quotes, for those who are Metari, it's also in Bereishis Perek Chavav, Pasukei, that Rachel and Leah were sisters from the father, but not from the mother. And since by Goyim the Yichus doesn't work after the father, they were not considered Achios. They were not really considered sisters halachically. That's how the Chizkuni quotes Yesh Shetirtu. In the Das Akedim Bali Atoslus, he says that even though the Torah was known to the Avos with Ruach HaKodesh, but they picked and chose what they wanted to fulfill, what they didn't want to fulfill in the Torah, because there was no Chiyuv. So they were able to do those things that were meaningful to them and cast aside those that weren't. Quite a Chiddush also. So, meaning what's the, okay, whatever. So the different explanations of what exactly Yaakov Avinu was thinking when he married Shtei Achios. But the common denominator is that he was, between all these approaches, is that he had a mahalich, meaning that it was okay, that it wasn't usher. Yaakov Avinu didn't do the wrong thing by marrying Rachel Leah. It would be very difficult for us to say historically that all of Klal Yisrael was based on a mistake, that the Hamadas Shiftei Kah, having 12 tribes, was all based on an error. But then how come in our Gemara, when Yaakov Avinu is asked to leave the benching, he says, sorry, I can't do it, I married two sisters. Well, you did nothing wrong by marrying two sisters. That's fine that you marry two sisters. What's the problem then? So l'chora, it's a problem according to everybody. So the Das Akedim Bali Atosos deals with this, and he says even though it was mutter for him to do it, but since the Torah will one day make it aser, so there's an onesh ktsas, and he married them anyways because they were tzidkanio, so it was worth it for him because there was no one else in that generation that was quite like them, so it was worth it for them, and none of them would have been able to have children without the other, meaning he knew that they were destined only to have children from him. But still, it's an onesh ktsas, a little not so satisfying. In the Gorariyeh, in the Maral, in the Gorariyeh, in Bereishis, he's metarit that even though Yaakov married them al pi ruach hakodesh, that it was mutter for him, but it's still a genai, meaning retrospectively, looking back, based on our current sensibilities, based on what we now have and what we now know in terms of the Torah, it's still a little bit of a genai, even though in context there was nothing wrong with it. In context, based on based on where he was at that time, there was no iser bedavar, but just retrospectively, there's a little bit of a genai. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Yeah, ein maftir nachra Pesach afikomen. We should not be maftir after the Pesach with afikomen. What does that mean? So my afikomen. What does it mean afikomen? What are we not allowed to do? So it says Gemara two possibilities. Amarav shelo ye'akru mechabura lechabura. It means that we should not move from one group to another group. That after eating the Korban Pesach, it's usher to go eat something else in another place. Stay where you are if it were, as long as you want to eat. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Kigon urdiloi li vuguzlaya la'aba. Shmuel says, now this is referring to dessert type of foods. It means not to eat dessert after the Korban Pesach, like mushrooms for me or young pigeons for my father who enjoys eating that type of meat. Rav Chanina bar Shila, Rav Yochanan, Kigon tamarim uklayos vegozim. Other types of dessert foods, dates, toasted grains, walnuts. That's what it means. Don't eat dessert after the Korban Pesach. Tanya kavased Rav Yochanan. Ein maftir nachar Pesach kigon tamarim klayos vegozim, and we have a brisa that says just like this that one should not have a dessert after the Korban Pesach, namely one should not eat all of these dessert type of foods. Now the lashon afikomen, what does the word mean? Afikomen, it's a strange word. Where does it? What's the etymology? So Rashi says that it's afiku, meaning hotziu, man, mine matika, to take out and bring mine matika from eating them. They take them away so that we don't eat them. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Ein misaymenes, or take them out to eat them. So the Mishnah is saying ein misaymenes suda. We don't complete the suda with saying with afikomen, by saying come bring out the dessert. So afikomen literally means bring out the dessert. Ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen. At the end of the meal, we do not say bring out the dessert. So the Rashbam explains that that's only according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rav, man is kelim. We're saying hotziu klechem, that to take out your kelim and we'll go eat in another place. So im raftinu achar pesach afikomen means we don't say afikomen, let's go bring out our kelim to somewhere else to continue to eat somewhere else, right? Because it's machlokas in the Gemara what it means. Does it mean not to switch places and eat more somewhere else, or does it mean not to have dessert? But either way, it's afiku, take out, man either food, more food, dessert, or kelim to eat more food in a different place. So that's how Rashi and the Rashbam seem to assume is the etymology of the word. Now, why is it? Why is it that we're not allowed to eat anything after the Basar Pesach or Bizman Hazeh after the Matzah? What's the problem? So the Rashbam writes in Dibra Maskel Kagon that we don't eat anything so that we don't lose the tam of the Korban Pesach from our mouths. We want to keep that tam in our mouths. And he says, L'chora, I mean, we're going to see later in today's daf, it's pretty clear in the Gemara that that's an inyan, that we want to keep the tam of the Korban Pesach in our mouths. Because the Gemara says that, if you're not allowed to eat even after the matzah, why is it that the Mishnah highlights that you're not allowed to eat, meaning Pizman Azeh, when we don't have a Korban Pesach, we're not allowed to eat after the matzah, so why is it that the Mishnah highlights not to eat after the Korban Pesach? Should have said a bigger chiddush, that even after the matzah, Pizman Azeh? So the Gemara says, no, I would have thought that you're only not allowed to eat after matzah, but after Korban Pesach you are allowed to eat, because Korban Pesach is a much stronger taste. So if you eat anything after the matzah, you're going to lose the taste of the matzah. You eat anything after the Korban Pesach, you're not going to lose the taste as quickly. So that's why I need our Mishnah to tell me that even after the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat. That's what the Gemara is going to say. But what do you see from there? That the whole inyan is about losing the taste. So that's what the Rashbam says. That's why we're not allowed to eat afterwards, because we don't want to be mavir the time. We don't want to lose the taste. Balamor raises the question, the Balamor over here, why do we care so much if we lose the tam of the Korban Pesach after we eat it? We already did the mitzvah. Why do we need to keep the tam of the Korban Pesach? So he points out that since after we eat the Korban Pesach, they had the minhag to go to a different place to say halal. We learned that earlier in the Masechta, that they would eat the Korban Pesach on the ground floor, because it had to be eaten on the ground floor. Then they would go up to the rooftops and they would shake all the rooftops. It would be so loud from everyone singing the halal. So they didn't have enough space. They would go to a different place to say halal. So we were afraid once people are moving around, they're going to forget to say halal. You know, you start moving around. It's like in yeshiva. Whenever we're running a program, we're always afraid that when we take the boys from one place to the base medrash, we're going to lose some along the way. That they're going to find somewhere else to go along. So you don't want to. You're going to go up to the havdil. So you can go up to say halal, and we're afraid people are going to forget to say the halal. Some people are going to end up in bed. So it's not. So we want a reminder. So we want people to keep that taste in their mouth. So it's a built-in reminder that you're not done yet. That the seder still has to go. We still have to say halal. Similarly, the Ran says that it's a chashash that you need to Karban Pesach b'shnei mekamos, so they're misaking to leave the time Karban Pesach b'fiv, so you'll remember not to eat the Karban Pesach in another place. Fine. All of that are basic shitos in Rishonim. The Avnei Nezer has a chiddush, though. The Avnei Nezer says, based on the Gemara later in today's daf, which we're probably going to learn tomorrow, the Gemara tells us that Rav Lozman ben Azariah learns the Zman of Achilas Karban Pesach. Rav Lozman ben Azariah holds that you can only eat the Karban Pesach until Chatzos. Where does he know that from? Because the Pasuk says, by Makas Pechoros. So we learn from there that just like that's Ad Chatzos, so when it says Balayla Hazeh by Achilas Korban Pesach, it's also only until Chatzos. So says the Avnei Nezer, wait a second, the Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeh and Makas Pechoros didn't happen before Chatzos. It was exactly at Chatzos. So why is it that we are Makbid, according to Rav Lozman Azariah, to eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos? What really happened, what we're learning it from, is something that happened precisely at Chatzos, not before Chatzos and not after Chatzos. It was precisely at Chatzos. So he says, well, obviously you can't eat at a precise moment at Chatzos. So what do? We eat in such a way where we're still going to have the Tam Pesach at Chatzos. But the kiyum is in having that Tam Pesach in our mouths at the moment of Chatzos. And that's the reason name after Nachar Pesach Chafikom. We need to keep the taste in our mouths because Ad Chatzos is when the kiyum comes of the remembrance to the Makas Bechoros. It's not in eating it before. It's in having that taste in our mouths later on. And he says, based on that, there's no reason not to eat after Chatzos. Once you had that Ad Chatzos, according to Rav Lozman Azariah at least, that the mitzvah is Ad Chatzos, so once you had the tam Ad Chatzos, so there's no reason to not eat after Chatzos according to Rav Lozman Azariah. And based on that, the Avnei Nezer suggests his famous Eitzah. The Avnei Nezer in Aruch Chaim, Siman Shin Pei Aleph, Osios Gimel through Hay. The Avnei Nezer says, what do you do if your Seder is running late? Meaning that you're not going to get up to the Afikomen before Chatzos. And the halacha is that you're supposed to get up to it before Chatzos. So what do you do? So the Avnei Nezer says, well, really, the whole reason we need to eat it before Chatzos is to be choshish for the Shita of Rav Lozman Azariah that you only have until Chatzos. But really, according to Rav Lozman Azariah Shita, you're allowed to eat after Chatzos. So he says, but why don't we eat after Chatzos? Because we're choshish for Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that the Zman is all night. So we need the Tam Bepiv even at the end of the night, later on in the night when we go to sleep. So we're stuck, and that's why we try to dafke eat our Afikomen before Chatzos. Says the Avnei Nezer, maybe you can make it tonight. Maybe here's what you could do. Right before Chatzos, you're in the middle of, the kid saying some Divrei Torah on Vihi Shamda or something. So and it's already Chatzos. So right away, what do you do? Or, hopefully not that far back, but it's at Chatzos and you're, whatever, you just had your Achilas Matzah. You're about to start your Shulchan Aruch. So what do? Have a Kazayas of Matzah for the Avikomen and make it tonight. That if the Halacha is like Rav Lozman Azariah, that the mitzvah is at Chatzos, I want this to be my Afikomen, and then I'm allowed to eat my Su'uda later. But if the halacha is like Rabbi after, because it's after Chatzos, I'm allowed to eat whatever I want after Chatzos. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, well then, this isn't my afikomen. I don't want this to count as my afikomen. The kezayis matzah that I'm going to eat at the end of the night, at 3 in the morning, that's going to be my afikomen. So a person makes this tanai of the Avnei Nezer, and he covers both the sheet of Rabbi Akiva and the sheet of Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. So it sounds like a brilliant solution. The Briska Rav didn't, there are two critiques of this solution. Some think it's too good, something it's too bad. What I mean by that is, Briska Rav didn't like it in the sense that he didn't think it was necessary to make a tanai. He didn't think necessarily you can make a tanai about mitzvos, but he thought it works automatically. Meaning, if you're having kazayis matzah now, so you don't have to make a tanai that this is my afikomen only if I hold like Rav Lozman Azariah. Not, it works automatically. That automatically will count as your afikomen according to Rav Lozman Azariah, and the kazayis matzah they have later on will automatically count as your kazayis matzah according to Rabbi Akiva. Others don't like the tanai so much because they don't think you can make a tanai on mitzvos, and they don't think it works to make such a tanai. So not everyone was so thrilled with the eights of the Avnei Nezer, but it engendered a lot of discussion, certainly in the Achronim. There's tons and tons written on this tanai of the Avnei Nezer. Rav Palm, in one of his Rav Pam on the festivals, Rav Pam on something, Rav Pam on something. It says there that he used to suggest the Avnei Nezer for Shalom Bayis reasons. He says a lot of times people are so frum and they want to make sure that they do everything Kedasu Kedin, but they also want all the kids saying the Divrei Torah. So their wives, not only do they slave for a month cleaning up for Pesach, but they then have found their last bits of energy to prepare a su'uda for that night. And comes time where for everyone to eat the su'uda, and the husband says, "No, let's rush. Let's get through. We got to get to the Afikom. We got to move. And what does that make her feel like after she prepared the whole suda? So he said, it's a mitzvah to be somech on the Avnei Nezer and to make a tanai so that you could solve all the problems and you won't have to be pogay on the covenant of one's wife. Okay, says the it's a very rough palm type of art. Amrav Yudam Shmuel, Ein Maftirin Acher Matzah Afikomen, that we don't eat Afikomen after Matzah either, a Chiddush, that it's not only about Korban Pesach, it's also about Matzah. So Tanan, meaning Bizman Azeh, Tanan, Ein Maftirin Acher Pesach Afikomen, says the Gemara, but wait a second, the Mishnah was clear. The Mishnah said, Ein Maftirin Acher Pesach Afikomen, Acher Pesach Hu Dolo Achal, Lacher Matzah Maftirin, sounds like it's only a din in Korban Pesach, but after Matzah, we are allowed to have a dessert. So says the Gemara, Lomi Bayakamar. Lomi by Acher Matzah, the low Nafish Taimayu, Aval Acher Pesach, the Nafish Taime, the low Matzah Avure, Leslanba, Kamash Mulan. It's not even needed to teach me. The Mishnah says it's obvious that you're not allowed to eat anything after the Matzah because Matzah has a weaker taste, is what we mentioned before. But after Korban Pesach, which has a stronger taste, I would have thought you could eat something afterwards. It's not such a big deal because it has a stronger taste. So Kamash Mulan, that's why it comes to tell me that no, you're not allowed to eat anything even after the Korban Pesach. So we asked a kasha on Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel from our Mishnah. Now we're going to bring a raya to Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel from somewhere else. So name a misayele. Let's bring a raya to Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel that even by matzah, you're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah bizman hazeh. Hasufganin vadufshanin vaiskuritin adam malik kresuman uvach yoch gzayis matzah b'achrona. All different types of food a person could stuff his face with as much as he wants, different types of dessert foods, as long as he eats a gzayis matzah at the end. Oh, b'achrona in, barishon alo. Sounds like, yes, a kazayis matzah at the end, but you cannot eat anything after a kazayis matzah. The kazayis matzah cannot be barishona. So isn't this a raya that Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel is correct, that the matzah's got to be the last thing and not allowed to have anything afterwards? Says, lomi bayu kamar. No, it's also lomi bayu barishona de kachal teavon avlachrona del masi de mechal achilagasa e malo. It's obvious that you could eat matzah earlier on in the Seder because you're still hungry. So that's for sure okay. But I would have thought that you're not allowed to eat matzah ba'achrona because you're full already and it's nachila gasa. So kamash mlan, it's telling me that you're also allowed to eat matzah ba'achrona. Not that you eat matzah ba'achrona and not barishona, that it's asr la'afuke eating barishona, but it's coming to tell me that you can even eat ba'achrona, you can even eat matzah at the end. So that was one version of Rabbi Yudah Amar Shmuel, and based on that version, we had a kasha on it from our Mishnah and a raya to it from this other source, and we rejected both. Now we're going to have a second version of Yudah Mar Shmuel where he says the exact opposite, and therefore that which was a kasha from our Mishnah is now going to be a raya from our Mishnah, and that second source, that's a sefta, that was a raya, is now going to be a kasha, but it's the same conversation otherwise. Marzutra Masni Hachi, Marzutra taught the conversation as follows. Amrav Yosef, Amrav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Maftirin Achara Matzah Afikomen, not Ein Maftirin, Maftirin Achara Matzah Afikomen, that even though the Mishnah says you can't eat anything after the Korban Pesach, you can eat stuff after the matzah, that's fine. Name a Messayele, so now our Mishnah is a raya. Ein Maftirin Achara Pesach Afikomen, Achara Pesach Delo Aval Achara Matzah Maftirin, sounds like only after Korban Pesach it's not okay, but after matzah it is okay. Says Gemara, Lomi Bayu Kamar, Lomi Bayu Achara Matzah Delo Nafish Taimei, Aval Achara Pesach you don't need to tell me after matzah where it doesn't have a very strong taste, but after Korban Pesach, I would think that if it does have a strong taste, I would think you're not allowed to eat Kamash Malan. That's why it comes to tell me, the Mishnah comes to tell me that you're even allowed to eat after Korban Pesach. So it's not a kasha. Mesive, or where it's not a raya. Meisve, so now we're going to ask a kasha from the other source. Hasufkan vaduv shan vayaskarit in adam malikres amen blavat shayoch l'kazayis matzah be'achrona, that as long as you eat the kazayis matzah last, be'achrona in barishona lo, so we see that the kazayis matzah dafka has to be eaten last, it cannot be eaten earlier. So it says in Gemara, lomi bayu kamar, lomi bayu barishona dekach l'teavon, so it's also lomi bayu. It's obvious that you're allowed to eat it earlier in the meal, because you're still hungry earlier in the meal, avu ba'achrona, dasi l'michle achil gasa, eim alo. But ba'achrona, where you're likely going to come to eat it as an achil gasa, so I would think that you're not allowed to. Come Ashmolan, therefore comes to tell me that you are allowed to eat it even ba'achrona, not only ba'achrona. But either way, we paskin, like the first lashon, that we don't eat anything after the matzah, that after the afikomen, we're not allowed to eat anything. What about drinking? Is a person allowed to drink after the afikomen? A person is thirsty, wants to have something to drink. So this is a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Rif holds that we don't eat, we don't drink anything after the afikomen, except for the last two kosos, which we need to drink after the afikomen. But other than that, we don't drink anything except from mayim. He says water is the only exception. That's how the Bahag paskins, many other Rishon and the Manning, that we only drink water after the afikomen. So the Ran on the Rif explains that the isser to drink wine after is not because of the afikomen. We already drank shtei kosos of yayin. It's just that we don't find any isser in the Gemara except for eating tamarim klayos agozim. We don't find an Isser Shtia. He says, no, where did the Rif come up with this Isser to drink wine? It's not based on Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Avikomen, but it's a different problem. It's Nira Kemosif Alakosos, that it's a violation that it's going to look like Baltosif. So what's the Nafkamina, whether it's a din in eating after the Avikomen, or whether it's a din in Nira Kemosif Alakosos, if you drink something that's not wine and not water, right? Can you drink soda? So soda is not water per se, but it's certainly not something that would qualify for Chamar Medina for one to be Yotzei Dalet Kosos with, and therefore would not be Nira Kimosav Alakosos. That's the Shita Sarif. The Mordechai Shita is that Mekar Adin, there's no issur of drinking after the Avikomen at all. The reason we don't drink wine is not because of Nira Kemosif, but Shemi Yishtaker, that we're afraid a person is gonna get drunk, and we don't want him to be Mishtaker on the night of the Seder, because ideally all night he should be spent Behilchas Pesach and Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim Ad Shel Chafas Hashena until sleep overcomes him. So you don't want to drink so much that it's gonna take you away from the opportunity to do that mitzvah all night long. So especially after you already had four cups of wine, so probably you're close enough to drunk anyway. So we don't want a person to drink so much to take away from that opportunity. So again, nafkamina would be that even chamar medina would be okay as long as it's not alcoholic. If you hold that there is such a thing as a non-alcoholic chamar medina, that itself is a discussion whether such a thing could exist. Could coffee or tea be a chamar medina? But maybe adraba, not only would there not be an issur to drink coffee, if the concern is that we want to keep you awake to be misab b'tzias mitzrayim, adraba, maybe it would be better to drink coffee than not to drink, according to the Mordechai. The Rashbam and Tosfos over here say that there is no issur of drinking at all after the afikomen. The issur is only achila. You could drink whatever you want, even wine you're allowed to drink, and that which we say that you shouldn't drink between kol shlishi l'revi, that's shelo yishtaker, and that you're not going to be able to say halal. But once the seder is over, drink whatever you want. That's not going to be a problem of shemi yishtaker after the seder is already over. There is also a discussion over here in the Rishonim, an important discussion. What is the primary mitzvah of matzah on the night of the seder? We said in maftir nachar matzah afikomen. When does one actually fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? Is it the matzah you eat at the beginning when you make the bracha of alechilas matzah, or the matzah one eats at the end? So Rashi and the Rashbam over here in Kufiyat Tesam Beis say that you have to eat the matzah, the Gemara Suda Zecher, to the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach in Bekricha, and that's the matzah that we eat ba'achrona l'shem chova. The matzah we eat at the end, that's a real mitzvah of matzah. The Iker mitzvah of matzah or Mekayim with the matzah at the end of the meal, with the afikomen. So they're bothered, but wait a second, why do we make the bracha of alechilas matzah at the beginning of the meal if the real key mitzvah is at the end of the meal? That's our Iker mitzvah of matzah. So probably this is explained based on the Gemara and Daf Kuftes Vavam and Aleph, the Gemara about Marar, that what if you only have one vegetable to use for both Karpas and Marar? So there's no, you can't say an alechilas Marar after you already ate Marar, after you already ate Marar for Karpas. So the bracha has to come before the earlier achila, even if that's not your primary focus in terms of the mitzvah. Maisa. But that's when you have to say the bracha, because that's when you're actually doing the Maisa mitzvah at that time, so, or at least the very same thing as the Maisa mitzvah. The Rosh is not so happy with this. The Rosh says, if this matzah that we eat at the very end is a zecher to the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach, so we should do it like they did Bizman Shavis HaMikdash, and we should have it as a korich together with Maror and Charoses, just like they did Bizman HaMikdash. Why do we do the korich earlier in the Suda when we're eating the regular matzah, and we don't do the korich at the time of the Afikomen? So says the Rosh, the fact that we're eating an Afikomen at the end is not l'shem chovas matzah. It's not. It's a zecher bi'alma. It's a zecher for the Korban Pesach that was nechal ala sova. But you don't need Maror and Charoses. So ein maftir nachar matzah Afikomen is because it's a din of a zecher l'Pesach, but it's certainly not the primary mitzvah of achilas matzah bizman hazeh. Based on that, so there's a discussion in the Rishonim how much matzah one should eat at the Afikomen. So some of the Achronim quote from the Ma'aril to eat shnei kezesim for the Afikomen. Why? Because according to the Rashbam, it's l'shem chovas achilas matzah, it's nechal with the Pesach. According to the Shitas HaRash, it's a zecher for the Korban Pesach. So we want to do both to satisfy both opinions, have two kezesim. But Pasha's not that way. Most of the Rishonim say you have one kezes of matzah ba'achrona, and that's more than enough. That's sufficient. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Two dots. Amar Rava, matzah bizman hazeh d'oraisa, umarah d'rabanan. Bizman hazeh, matzah is still a mitzvah d'oraisa, but marah bizman hazeh is only a mitzvah mid'rabanan. Umayshta mar, why is mar only d'rabanan d'chsiv? Because the pasuk says, al matzos umrorim. Bizman d'ika pesach yesh marar. It says that you eat Korban Pesach on matzah and marar. So we dash from there, when there's a Korban Pesach, so you eat marar. Ubizman d'leka pesach leka marar. But when there's no Korban Pesach, then there's no mitzvah to eat marar. Matzah on the rice level. So it says, well, matzanami, haksiv al matzos umrorim. It says al matzos umrorim. It says matzah na pasuk also. So shouldn't we derive that there's only a mitzvah daraisa v'chilis matzah when there's a Korban Pesach? So matzah mehadar hadar bekra, berev tochl matzos. The matzah, the pasuk goes back and reminds us separately to eat matzah. So we see there's a separate pasuk to be mechayev us in eating matzah. That's Rava's shita. So matzah bizman hazeh is daraisa. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar echad zeh v'echad zeh drabon. Rav Acha bar Yaakov disagrees with Rav. He says, no, even matzah bizman hazeh is drabanan. Ela haksiv be'erev tochlu matzos. What do we do with the pasuk? It says be'erev tochlu matzos, independent of Korban Pesach. So how can you say matzah bizman hazeh is only drabanan? Now that pasuk of Berav Tochlu Matzos tells me that in the Zman that there was a Korban Pesach, if a person didn't bring a Korban Pesach because he was Tamei, he was Bederach Rechoka, such a person still has a Chiyuv of Matzah. But Bizman that there's no Korban Pesach at all, then there would not be a Chiyuv of Matzah. The Salka Daitachamina, I might have had a Havamina, given the Pesach Loachli, since the guy who's Tamei and is Bederach Rechoka is not participating in Korban Pesach, he's not eating Korban Pesach, Matzah Umar Nami Lo Nechel, he shouldn't eat Matzah Umar either, Kamash Mlan. Therefore comes tell me, Berav Tochlu Matzos, that he should eat Matzah. Now it's interesting, it sounds like Kamash Mlan that he should eat Matzah and maror, even though all the pasuk says berav tochlu matzos, right? The avamin is matzah umaror nami lo nechel. Kamash Mlan sounds like that matzah umaror nechel, that he should eat both matzah and maror. So matzah, when it says berav tochlu matzos, it's just indicating that he hasn't lost the rest of the chiyuv alayla just because he lost the Korban Pesach. He lost the opportunity to do Korban Pesach by being Tamei and Bederach Rechoka. V'Rava Amarlach, Rava would say, nah, Tamei v'shoi Bederach Rechoka lo tzarech kra. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that a guy who's not able to bring Korban Pesach still has to do matzah marah. Delo gari me aral ben nechar, because he should be no different than an aral or ben nechar who also has a mitzvah of matzah even though he can't do Korban Pesach. Titania, we learn in a brisa, kol aral lo yochel bo. Anyone who doesn't have a bris milah is not allowed to eat bo. He's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Bo eno ochel. Avalocha, but matzah mar. We have an explicit drasha to tell me that he's only not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, but he does eat matzah mar. So if the Arel and the Ben Nechar are chayiv to eat matzah mar, so it stands to reason that the Tame and the Bederach Rechoka would also have a chayiv to eat matzah and mar. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me that Tame and Bederach Rechoka have to eat matzah mar. So it says Rav, so what does Berav Tochlu Matzos teach me? It teaches me that even Bizman Hazeh, when nobody has a Korban Pesach, then matzah is still daraisa. V'idach, Rav Acha Yaakov would respond, k'siv b'hayu, k'siv b'hay, utzrichi. No, I need a pasuk to tell me that an aral and a ben nechar eat matzah, and I need a pasuk to tell me that a tamei and derech rechok eat matzah. I can't learn one from the other. I need two separate pasukim. Utzrichi, I need them both. The only thing is the Gemara doesn't explain why tzrichi. Why do I need them both? So the Rashbam fills us in on that. Utzricha, ditami v'shayi v'derech chokal, lo yalef me arul b'nechar. We would not have derived it from an arul b'nechar, to islay tashlumin l'pesach sheni. Because he has tashlumin, he can make it up with pesach sheni. Hilkach lo yochal matzah b'rishon ad shiyasa pesach sheni. So I would think, okay, good, he doesn't have to eat matzah now, he's going to have pesach sheni. Let him eat matzah with the pesach sheni. V'yikayim al matzah z'morom yochlu. He'll do matzah z'morom yochlu, the tame and the derech chokal, when he brings pesach sheni, so he'll fulfill it then. But the Aral and Ben Necha are not going to be eligible for Pesach Sheni either. So they're never going to have Al Matzos Marom Yochlu later on, together with the Karm Pesach. So I would have thought, okay, so at least let them have Matzah now, because they're never going to have a Karm Pesach anyway, so they should have Matzah now. That's why I need two separate Pesukim. Had I only had one Pesuk, whichever Pesuk it would have been, it doesn't matter which one it is, I would have used it to teach me that the Aral and Ben Necha have to eat, that the Aral and Ben Echar have to eat matzah, and I still would not have known that the Tamei and Hayu B'derech Rechok have to eat matzah, because I would think that they could just hang in there and wait until Pesach Sheni. Tanya Kavaseid Rava, we have a brisa that supports Rava. Sheshes Yom Tochel Matzos B'Yom Hashvi Atzeres Hashem Elokecha. For 6 days you eat matzah, seventh day we stop. Mashvi Rishus Av Sheshes Yom Rishus. So we learn from there, just like the seventh day, it's only Rishus, and we compare the seventh day to the other 6 days, so the 6 days is also only Rishus. There's no Chiyuv to eat matzah, it's only Rishus to eat matzah. My time, Havidavar Shayu B'chal V'yatzim N'Aklal L'Lamed. Lo L'Lamed Al-Atzim Yatzah L'Lamed Al-Klal Chul Yatzah. We say it every morning, but here's an actual example of it. It was something that was B'chal, it was included in the general rule, but then was taken out of the general rule to be Melamed about everything else. So it's not being Melamed about it, meaning the seventh day was one of these 7 days, but yet it's singled out as you don't have to eat matzah on this seventh day. But it's not singled out to teach about only itself, but it's the lamed al klal kulo yatzah. It's to teach about all 7 days that there's no actual chiyuv. So yachal aflay la rishon rishus. So you might think, wow, if it's a rishus for 7 days to eat matzah, the whole thing is optional. Maybe the first night of Pesach is also just a rishus. It's also optional. So tamalom ral matzah smorim yochluhu. So that's why the pasuk says matzah smorim yochluhu, that when you're eating korban Pesach, you need to eat it with matzah and maror. It's a chiyuv on the first night. Says my ein liel bezman shavisa miglish kaim. Bezman shein beis hamiglish kaim inayin. I still only know that I have to eat matzah when there is a beis hamiglish. I'm eating Karm Pesach, how do I know that I have to eat matzah even when there's no Beis HaMikdash? And this is the point that Rava wanted to make, that matzah even Bizman HaZez Doraisa Tamaloma Berav Tov L'Matzos HaKosav Kavuchova. That's why it says Berav Tov L'Matzos. The Torah is telling me that there's a Chiyuv to eat matzos specifically on that first night of the Seder. But what does the Gemara learn? That the other days of Pesach, there's no Chiyuv to eat matzah, it is a Rishus. The Chizkuni, in his commentary to Chumash and Shmos Perek Yud Beis, says that there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to eat matzah kol shiva. We call it a rishus in that it's not a chiyuv, that one is not obligated to eat a kazayis of matzah through the rest of Pesach, but it still is, at the very least, it's a mitzvah. The Chasam Sofer brings the Chizkuni in his commentary to the Gemara, to Pesach and Daflamid Hey, and he approves of that idea, that it is still a mitzvah to fulfill it later on, to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah throughout the days of Pesach. And it's Yadua in Maaser Rav, in Simen Kuf Pei Hey, it tells us that the Vilna Gaon said the same thing, and he says that which the Gemara darshins, Mashvi Rishus, Avshesh Yom Rishus, it doesn't mean that it's a total Rishus, that there's no mitzvah at all. It means that there's no Chiyuv like the first night. And it says that way in the Bira Gra and Shulchan Aruch as well, in Simen Lamed Aleph and Os Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch says that, you know, Simen Lamed Aleph is in Hilchas Tefillin. So Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Tefillin says that we don't put on Tefillin on Chol HaMoed because it's called an Os, those days are called an os. So the Gra says, what makes it an os? What makes the days of Chol HaMoed Pesach an os? Sukkah, I get. You have a mitzvah of Sukkah called Shiva, so I get that it's going to be an os. What makes the days of Chol HaMoed Pesach an os that would exempt me from wearing tefillin? So he says, because you have the mitzvah of matzah. The Bira Gra says so it says that way in Targum Yonos, and also many sources to suggest that there is in fact a mitzvah of matzah. Chassam Sofer just asked, we had a Gemara earlier on. The Gemara said in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph that Rabbi Shua said to his children, Yom Kama Lo Talushu Bedufsha Mikan Ve'elach Lushuli Bedufsha. He told his children, on the first day, for the first night, I don't want you to put any honey into the matzah, because it's going to be matzah ashiru, not going to be able to yotzi the mitzvah. After that, you can put as much honey as you want into the matzah, then it's going to be delicious. We can put as much honey as you want into it. So it sounds like he wasn't makbid to have proper matzah for Kol Shiva. If there was a mitzvah, there was a key of mitzvah, so he should have been makbid to have proper matzah Kol Shiva. So that's what the Brisker Rav explains. The Brisker Rav in his Sefer on the Rambam, Chametz Matzah, Perek Vav Halacha Hey, says that there's Svei Dinim here. There's din of matzah and there's din of lechem oni. Matzah shir is a chisar in lechem oni. It's not a chisar in matzah. So in terms of the key of mitzvah of matzah, that you have all 7 days. Lechem oni is only on the first night. Is only at the Seder. So yeah, you could have matzah shira, and that's also a kiyum mitzvah through the 7 days. Just the first night you need to have lechem oni. That's how he explains that Gemara. Okay, Baz Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow, and we'll Baz Hashem finish the Masechta.